Thank you so much, Lord, that you, a perfect and holy and great God, see fit to have fellowship with us. It is an awesome privilege. It is a tremendous honor. Lord, thank you for forgiving us where we have failed you and seeing fit to bless us so, so much. Lord, we thank you for the tremendous, precious gift that is this life that each and every one of us might use to know you, to follow you, and to bring glory to you. We hope and we pray and we ask in Jesus' name that that would be the result of this gathering here today, and that your glory would be known in homes and families and marriages and schools, in this community and in this entire nation, yea, the entire world, starting right here in this room. For as always, we've gathered in the name of Jesus Christ. It is to His name that we sing these praises, and it's in His name, that holy name, that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 127. We are recognizing Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, as we do each and every year. It's such an important topic, an important issue, that we make sure that we take time and devote to it each and every January. I think nationally it's usually done a week before we usually do, and of course we got snowed out last week, but it's too important not to touch on, and that notwithstanding, it is also part of our current series that we've entitled What God Has in Mind. So with that in mind, with what God has in mind, we read today the five-verse psalm that is Psalm 127, beginning in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. The Lord add his blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. Sanctity of human life. Abortion being the topic that we try to take a few moments and pray God's will on. And we pray today that if there's anyone anywhere that is struggling with a choice, with a decision, that they will seek God's hand and God's will in that choice. We pray that if there are those who have made choices in the past that they might regret or wish they had done differently, that they would know God's hand and God's perfect redemptive grace and forgiveness. But if I may, for just a moment, let me point out, well, the hypocrisy is one way of putting it. NASA has built two Mars rovers, two robotic little cars with cameras on them, powered by solar panels, and they're riding along on the surface of Mars as we speak, I suppose, if they're working properly. And they go along day and night, night and day, all the time, doing nothing but taking pictures of rocks, because rocks are all there is there to take pictures of. And those pictures of rocks and dirt are being sent back day and night to NASA for them to look at. And the internet blows up and there's all this discussion. Ooh, this one looks like a face. Or this one's sort of shaped like a spoon from this angle. Never mind, it's this big. And if you had nothing to do all day and night long, but to look at rocks, you could find one that looks like, well, anything, right? Here's the kicker. Let's say hypothetically, and it would have to be hypothetically, that they were able to find a single cell organism, one tiny protozoan somewhere on planet Mars. The reaction would be, and rightly so, well, that's life. It's a cell. It's a single cell organism. It is conducting life right there. It's on Mars. That we would say that single cell is life. And yet, for some reason, when millions upon millions of cells combine to form an embryo, we say, well, that's not life yet. If we were to find a single cell organism, a tiny protozoan on Mars, we won't. There's not life. There never has been. But if we did find such a thing on Mars, that tiny protozoan single cell organism would be on Mars because God Almighty put it there. And He would have put it there the same way that He puts millions upon millions of cells together to form an embryo and then a fetus inside a womb. It's there because God Almighty put it there. He or she exists because God Almighty deems that he or she should exist. It's a life. He or she belongs to God and has been entrusted to us as His children to do something with him or her, and that is to bring him or her to birth. See, we don't bring them into this world. God brought them into this world. We bring them to birth. May we be found faithful and worthy of the tremendous gift that God has given us. The thing about abortion is it's not a matter of what's legal or not. It's not a matter of whose choice it is. It's not a matter of a woman's right or a non-right. It's not a matter of when life starts or doesn't start. It is a matter of respect for God. That's what it is. It is a matter of that. It is a matter of reverence and respect toward God. We've been, if I may do a little shameless plug, we've been studying Deuteronomy on Sunday and Wednesday nights, and little by little, piece by piece, we've been breaking it down. You think, wow, that could get awesome. 34 chapters of Deuteronomy and that Old Testament stuff just on and on. And yeah, it's been a long time. But one of the things that we've come to understand as we try to discover the very character of God through His law is that it's not about rules. Not even at that time, not even for the Israelites, not even in the book of Deuteronomy or Numbers or Exodus or Leviticus. It's not even about that. It was about God having a personal relationship with His children. And we've all heard that a gazillion times. It's not about rules. It's about a personal relationship. But what we've discovered in studying Deuteronomy is that it's not about whether or not we follow the rules. It's about remembering how good God has been to us, how much He's blessed us, all that He's given us, and saying, I don't want to disappoint Him. He's been so good to me. I want to be good right back to Him the best I can. Amen? That's what we need to be teaching our children. Instead of a list of rules to follow and things that have to happen, is like, honey, look, God has forgiven us of our sins. We've never had a day where He wasn't watching after us and being with us. He's always there. He's always perfect. Let's do what He wants because that's what He deserves. That's relationship. Not wanting to disrespect Him, not wanting to disappoint Him, not wanting to break the heart of a God who has already shown how much He loves you. That's really what the issue is all about. Think about all that God has given you in your children or is going to give you. And if this whole subject is you're thinking, well, I'm past that age and this doesn't apply to me, let me tell you something. The children that go out of here each and every Sunday morning, sometimes dozens, sometimes a few, whatever the case may be, God has given us as a church family these children. Hordes of them that assemble here every Wednesday night. God has given them to us. As Neil read to start our service this morning, Luke chapter 18, Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. The best way to hinder a child from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is to hinder them from being born. Because that is why He put them on this earth to begin with. What God has in mind. Children coming to Him and coming to know Him. What God has in mind is parents leading to that, to children coming to know Him. What God has in mind for families is leading children to come to know Him. What God has in mind for this church is us leading them to know Jesus Christ. Just for a moment, I want you to stop, and if you are teaching a Sunday school class, if you are an Awana leader, if you help in children's church or the nursery or the Christmas program or whatever the case may be, take a minute and recognize that that is the purpose of it all. It can get toilsome. It can get hard. It can get burdensome. Know that what God has in mind is using what you are doing as a sacrifice. It may not be perfect. It may have blemishes. But a sacrifice to bring back the miraculous fate in that child or those children. That's encouraging to me. I hope it is to you. Our passage this morning, and I I'm not going to start in verse 1. We'll come back to it as we break it down. We'll start in verse 3. The psalmist said, sons, children, are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from Him. A heritage, that's something that is handed down or inherited. That is something that is... Children are inherited from the Lord. They are handed down from the Lord. Do you understand? God Almighty, as He is perfect and holy on the throne of heaven and earth, in His perfect heaven, sees fit to hand down these children, these babies, to you and me. From Him. That's awesome. That's not a small thing. What an awesome thing. What God has in mind is that you and I would constantly be in awe. What God has in mind, that we would be in awe of what He has done in giving us these gifts. Parenting is awesome. It's the best. You watch them grow, and they can make you so proud. Sometimes the opposite, but they can make you so proud in ways that's not possible otherwise. You never experience joy like you can experience when one of your own, when your child does good. That's why God made you and me. It's why He formed Adam out of the very dust, because you never experience joy like you do when one that is yours does what is right, chooses and does the right thing. That's why He made us, so that we would have that opportunity. Think of how proud the Father is when we mature and grow and fulfill His plan. See, having children helps us understand God. It helps us understand His perspective, His perfect love. Having children makes us, well, more godly, because only then can we know the unconditional love, or at least some form of it. But more than that, having children gives us the opportunity, as families, as parents, as church, it gives us the opportunity to pass down, to pass along the greatest things that there are, the greatest things in this world, unconditional love, opportunity to pass that down, opportunity to pass down truth, grace, wisdom. These are the best things that have ever been. Just like God has given all these things, love and grace and truth and wisdom, to us, He gives us the opportunity to pass them down, pass them along. And that's true whether you have one that belongs to you biologically, or whether it's your nieces and nephews, whether it's your students or neighbors or the kids in your Sunday school class or whatever. He has given us this awesome gift in hopes that we would pass down what He has already given to us. I hope that we'll all take advantage of that opportunity that has been given to us by God. Few things are more rewarding. But parenting is, well, it's challenging too, isn't it? It's challenging. It's getting more challenging all the time, in my estimation. Now, I may be wrong about that. There were probably people saying that 100 and 200 years ago. It's harder than it's ever been. And they were maybe right then, and maybe we're right now. But as I look around and I see what's on television and what's on the radio, what's in the internet and what's coming through cell phones, what's in music and magazines, godlessness is coming at your children at a rate like never before. Godlessness is coming at them from more angles than ever before. Disrespect, lack of respect for God Almighty is coming at our children from more directions than ever before. And that makes it all very challenging. That's why He said in verse 1 of Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Unless the Lord's in it, you ain't got a chance. See, what God had in mind, number 2, is God had in mind that He would help us because we're going to need it. God had in mind that we'd be in awe of what He's given us. And God had in mind that, well, He's going to help us, that we would seek His hand, that we would seek His way, His involvement every single day. It says guards watch in vain. That means you can't do it alone. You're not supposed to have to do it alone. If you don't have the Lord, you're sunk if He's not involved. Listen to me, that's why so many families are failing. Some deny the Lord access to their homes and families. Others, they have religion, but they don't have Jesus. Why so many are failing? Verse 2, in vain, for nothing. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For He grants sleep to those He loves. You shouldn't have to get up early and stay up late if God is involved, if you've involved Him in all that's going on. In vain you rise early and stay up late. What that means in today's culture is this. You can get your job done. You can be the best there's ever been at your work and what you do to earn your living. You can get it done exactly like it ought to be done every single day, but it is in vain if the Lord is not in it. You can get your children and everybody around them the best education that's ever been, 3-4 PhDs. It is in vain if the Lord is not in it. You can even make sure you bring them to church every single time the doors are open. And even that can be in vain if the Lord's not in it, if the Lord's not with it. Put in all these extra hours and extra trips, but if you don't involve Jesus, if you don't seek Him and follow His ways, then it's going to be in vain. Your kids are going to duplicate your ways. Whether you understand what I'm saying or not, they're going to duplicate your ways. If you duplicate the ways of the Lord, they'll duplicate that. Duplicate something other than the ways of the Lord, they will duplicate you. Even when you were a teenager and you thought mom and dad were crazy, you were still duplicating their ways. And they too will you. Do all that's extra, but according to the Bible, it'll come up vain. All that extra effort will come up wanting if the Lord's not in it. Verse 4, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Let me tell you what that means. What God had in mind, what God has in mind, is that adults as parents, pillars of the church, is that we would have convictions. What God has in mind is that parenting, leading children, requires conviction. That we would have a specific aim, that we would have specific goals in mind. What values do you want your children to have? Now, do you have them? Do you show them? As you send them out, like the Bible analogizes here, like arrows from a quiver, to go further and do more than you can do from where you are at this point or at any point, as you send them out, like a warrior sends an arrow out into the distance to accomplish and go further, where are you pointing them? What are you aimed at? Is it something just in general, sort of generally toward religion or whatever the case may be, or do you have specific aims and goals in mind? The bow and arrow has been around for hundreds, yea, thousands of years, and we figured out at some point that, you know what, you can be fairly accurate with it, but then they started learning if you'll put a sight on it. And Neil brought me this one today, and this little thing right here is a sight. And if you're really good and you practice up really good, you can use that sight and you can put that arrow in that bow, and thank you for bringing the little ones, so I'd be strong enough to pull it back, okay? And so you can use that arrow and point it, and you can hit something with such pinpoint accuracy much easier and much more predictably than you would without that arrow. What are you aiming the children at? In what direction are we sending them? What are we doing to instill those values? What steps am I taking every day, every week? What commitment am I making? Or am I ready to start doing to point them directly at Jesus? Point them directly at His will. If I may use a football analogy, Joe Montana said, when I throw the football to Jerry Rice, I'm not aiming at Jerry Rice, I'm aiming at that one little pinhole in the inside loop of the 8 on his jersey. Right here, I'm aiming to hit that. He said, I don't always hit that little pinhole on the inside loop of the 8 on Jerry Rice's jersey, but even if I miss that pinhole, I hit Jerry Rice. Because he was aimed at something specific. Jerry Rice didn't drop a whole lot of passes, but he did a few. I'll tell you something. You aim your children at Jesus, He'll catch them. He'll catch them. Every single time. They are going to go where you lead them. We're all going to go to lunch here in just a few minutes, and some of us are going to go to Ruby Tuesday, some of us are going to go to Golden Corral, some of us are going to go home, some of us are going to go to the drive-thru, some of us are going to go to Grandma's, whatever the case may be. But as you set out to, to go to, maybe y'all going to Ruby Tuesdays, Brad, and we're going to get you in a police escort, all right? And it's going to pick you up right here in the parking lot. And we're going to get alarms and sirens and all that, and a police escort is going to take you and your family to Ruby Tuesdays. And you know where how to get there, but good, we got guidance here. We're going to get there safely. And as you're pulling out of the parking lot, he turns and goes south on Old 52. And you start to say, well, this ain't the way. That's not the smart way to go to Old 52. But you're going to follow him because he has authority and he is your escort to where it is you're trying to be. And he's going to get you there. And that police escort might take you around by Westfield and Cana to get back to 601. But you're going to follow him because he's a police escort. That is exactly how your children are going to follow you. Are you going to lead them directly to Christ? Or are you just going to take whatever turn the road in front of you might take? Well, God has in mind that we take aim and we be convicted and we do whatever it takes every single day to land right in the center of His will. That's what it's all about. Am I firing my arrow at something? Or am I just shooting them in the dark, hoping they'll land in the right place? We'll close with this, just a few things, a few traits, a few things to aim for. A list I put together, not all that long, but I got some help. What God has in mind for these children in this church, for the children in your home, for the children next door to you, for the children in your class at school, what God has in mind. He has in mind, as we all know, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Aim for that. And we really ought to stay on that forever, but I think it all leads to that. What God has in mind for our children is a childlike faith. Remember in Luke chapter 18, Jesus said, unless you come to me like one of these children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. The mistake we make in hearing that we've got to have a childlike faith is we think that the fulfillment of that childlike faith is at an altar call when they answer it. Or when they say the sinner's prayer. You see, there they had a childlike faith. That's not the end of it any more than birth is the end of leading your children. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of childlike faith. Childlike faith says, well, this doesn't make any sense, but God will be with us. I'm going to do it. Childlike faith is everybody else is doing this, but we're going to do this because that's what the Bible suggests, and I believe God's leading us to do. Childlike faith is, I don't know how we're going to have enough, but I'm going to give this because this other person needs it. That's childlike faith. That's every day, folks. That's God's will. That's what He has in mind for your children. And again, are you leading them to it or are you hoping that they'll land there? Are you exemplifying that or are you just wishing? Well, God has in mind that they'd have a biblical worldview, a tender heart. God has in mind that our children will be humble and have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. He wants us to have a healthy reverence for God. What God has in mind is that your children would have a radical dependence on Him. Radical. I mean, that don't make any sense. Radical. God has in mind that they'd have a forgiving spirit, that they'd be filled with joy, have sacrificial love for others. God has in mind that they would have a submission and a submissive attitude toward Him and His appointed leaders. His God-appointed authorities. God has in mind that our children have relational values like respect, friendliness, compassion, thoughtfulness, kindness, helpfulness, and generosity. He has in mind, are we hoping they'll land on that, or are we leading them, pointing them, pinpoint accuracy, putting them toward these? God has in mind that our children would have moral values. What do we base our choices on? Do we base it on the Bible? Do we base it on faith? Or do we base our choices on our political affiliation? What am I pointing them at? God has in mind that our children would have lifestyle values, how they spend time every day, what kind of work ethic that they would have, how they emphasize material possessions, how strong do they emphasize relationships with people versus that. God has in mind that our children would have family values, commitment to the spouse, commitment to the family. God has in mind that our children would have character values like honesty and obedience, temperance, that they'd be teachable, loyalty, Patience. There's that hard one again. You're pointing them toward patience, or you're just hoping against hope. Please don't let them be like me. Please don't let them be like me. Please don't let them be like me. No, they're going to be like you. Discipline. I guess the word for it all today is, let's get on track. Let's get aimed at. Let's make sure we're pointed directly at what God had in mind when He gave me this child. What God had in mind. And not let the situations of today get us off track. Let's pray especially and specifically for that. Amen. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, praise be to You. Thank You so much for the children You've brought to this church, for the children You've brought to our families, for the teenagers that we see blossoming and maturing, for the young adults that are bearing fruit. Thank You so much for the little babies and the preschoolers and the middle schoolers. Thank You so much for them all. It was an awesome and is an awesome gift from You. Lord, may we seek out. Lord, may we redirect ourselves to what You have in mind for them. Not what we have in mind, but what You have in mind. Certainly not what they have in mind, but what You have in mind. Not what the government or society or our culture has in mind, Lord, but Your will be done in them as it is in heaven, what You have in mind. We are convicted by the fact that maybe we lose our grip and our sight on this purpose sometimes, Lord. So we ask humbly of You as You sit on that throne of heaven and earth, that You would help us to repent and recenter and refocus and take dead aim at Jesus Christ in His likeness, at Your perfect will and following Him perfectly. May that be so in all of us, so that we can lead them perfectly, every one of them. As always, it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask Your help in these things. It's in His name that we pray.